You know, there's this underlying theme in every chapter. We'll find, you know, the judgment of God, the wrath of God, but a lot of times we'll find, like, the coming. So a lot of this book does point to the end times. This church was actually afraid. One of the reasons they were fearful is they didn't have a completed Bible. But you and me have a completed Bible. I'm thankful for that. You? So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to wrap up verses 1 through 10 today. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to wrap it up. 1 Thessalonians 5, and let's just look at verse 1. It says this. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. You know, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Lord, make this passage clear for us. Holy Spirit, You're the teacher of this book. So I pray that we would tap into You today, that we would be open, honest with Your Word. Teach us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. So it starts off and says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. So when we're talking about the coming of Christ, the Bible says, the times and seasons, you have no need that I write unto you. And basically, what he's saying, in a sense, is I don't need to write unto you for two reasons. One, the times and the seasons are pretty easy to get to. You could use your Bible and find times and seasons. Now, this is different, and we already talked about this, so this is different than Mark 13:32 says that no man knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man's going to come. Nobody knows that day. So the day or hour, if there's anybody on this planet that predicts that, the Bible would call them a false prophet. You shouldn't do that. It's been done in history, and people are proven to be really not very smart, definitely not wise. There's a couple groups out there that do it every so often. They'll say, man, Jesus is coming back here, and they try to put it down on a calendar, a day or an hour. No man knows the day or the hour. But he says, of the times and the seasons. And we looked at what times and seasons would represent the last time we hit this passage. He says in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Gang, I'm just going to hit this really quick because we did this also. There's a phrase in your Bible called the day of the Lord. There's also a day called the day of Christ. These are different. Now listen, when you start handling passages like this, to be honest with God's Word, this is where you're going to find out that Bible translations become pretty important. Some people think that all translations are equal. That is not the truth. We don't believe that just the concepts and like phrases, the stories in the Bible are inspired. But the words have been messed up through history. You know, we actually take a belief that God's word is true. It's accurate in every word. Every single word is the inspired word of God. We believe the words, and the words make a difference. This is where you'll lose out. People get their doctrine messed up, and sometimes I'm looking like in my Bible, I'm just like, Now listen, I don't make any bones about it, you know. Now listen to me. The King James Bible is not an easy Bible to read. It gets better as you get into it, but it's not easy. There's a lot easier Bibles to read out there. We actually had a guy in our church. This has happened to me several times. He's like, man, I keep trying to read this King James Bible. This guy was actually from Mexico, came to the U.S. His English was bad. Well, then I find out from talking to other Hispanics that his Spanish was also bad. And then I find out that he can't read either very well. And so I told him, I said, dude, go get a kid's Bible. I don't know what to tell you. You know, he was just struggling along, and I'm just like, seriously. When it becomes an issue, I never make it an issue, very rarely in church. Now, we teach a couple classes on it, on manuscript evidence and why it is important that we believe every word of God is inspired. And not everybody holds to this view, and I'm okay with that. I am. I mean, I do want us to be solid on the gospel. There's groups out there. I have a friend, actually. He's a pastor in Indiana. And you know what he uses? He uses the most popular Bible you can get out there. Like, he would just say, what's the Bible that sells the most copies? And it would be the NIV Bible. And he says, then that's what I'm going to use. Well, if you start studying and using the New International Version, you're just going to find out when you get into critical passages of the Bible, this is where the words will steer you wrong. And I think we can prove that. And some people don't like that, but this is just the facts, because a lot of times this event called the Day of the Lord that he mentions in verse 2, for yourselves know perfect that the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord is the second coming of Christ, not to be mixed up with another day, the rapture of the church, which is called the Day of Christ. And so, especially dealing with end time stuff, there's phrases that your Bible, and I think they're inspired phrases because you can trace them from beginning clear to the end. And so, just to let you know this, this is one of those critical passages that you'll like a Bible. And by the way, let me tell you this much, and I'll take accuracy over readability any day of the week. I'll take accuracy when you study over just something that's a little easy to understand. A lot of people just want to have a cup of coffee and 5 minutes with their Bible and be a spirit-filled Christian. That is impossible. It don't happen that way. This is a process. It's a walk, isn't it? It's a meditation, the Bible says. And Paul even tells young Timothy, he says, man, the best thing you can do as a pastor, don't entertain people. Teach the Word. Stand on the Word. And it's sad to see a lot of our old timers that stood on the Word. These guys are fading off the scene fairly quickly, mainly because of age. So this is why we need to make disciples. We want to stick to God's holy Word. And you know another thing? We live in a culture where everything has just got to be fun, you know? And honestly, when you enter the area of discipline, it's not fun. And so I just want you to know that it is not always fun to get in the Bible. I'd be lying to people to tell them that, you know. Like, you have struggles and you're going to come to Christ and get in the Bible. You'll love it. It'll be great. It'll change your life. And then people get into it and they're like, my gosh, this is rough. It's like anything in life that's worth anything at all, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. So I just wanted to lay that out a little bit, that, man, we believe the Bible. We believe every word of God. And we want accuracy. So we don't just look at our Bible like in English. This is the English Bible. We actually won't go back and we look in history, and then we look at the manuscripts that are available, and we want the most accurate ones. And it's amazing to me, a lot of the hot Bibles that are used today and some of the most popular Bibles today were totally rejected by godly people of their day. I actually got to watch some debates on Bible versions from people that I would never debate on this issue. I could give my argument and talk to you, but I think people that know me, it's not, I don't excel there, you know. It's just not my thing. But I watched people that do these, and it is pretty amazing to see. I'm just like, you know, it's just, the truth is just the truth. So, the day of the Lord, he says in verse 2, yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. This day is going to sneak up on a lot of people. The Bible uses this phrase. There's actually an old movie called A Thief in the Night. I've seen it. I remember as a child being scared to death of it, even though I look now and not everything was totally biblically accurate about that movie. But it did a good job of making me aware and scaring me a little bit, right? Look at verse 3. It says in this passage, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Two examples are used here. One is a thief. You know, if you're paying attention, you'll know what time that thief is coming, right? And when you'll be aware and be on that. But the Bible says that Jesus is coming like a thief. People are not paying attention, and they're very casual on this, and it's going to sneak up on them. And I talked about this last time we were on this passage. Then it also talks about, verse 3, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So gang, here's the deal. In verse 3, notice he's talking to a group of believers, and he says in verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, that group, not us, them. It ends and say, they shall not escape. Because we're entering into a great principle here, and that is, you know, we'll get to it down in verse 9. God hath not appointed us to wrath. Like, the church is not going to go through this tribulation period, which is going to usher in the second coming of Christ. There's going to be a rapture of the church first. And we believe that. I want to show you a few passages of Scripture on this. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says in verse 3, it says, hey, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, that day. Notice again, see, we got these phrases in the Bible, the day of the Lord, that day, the second coming of Christ. Now listen, a lot of times, you know, you got an event, what's going to happen here real soon is the rapture of the church. The church will be raptured out, and it'll usher in tribulation on planet Earth. And so the church will be raptured, then there'll be a 7-year tribulation period the Bible speaks about. And then what's going to happen, which that 7 years, by the way, 3.5 years will be peace. The last 3.5 years will be hell on earth. That's when it'll get really, really rough. And that's when Jesus comes back at the end of it. And then there'll be a 1,000-year reign of Christ, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And the church actually comes back with him. That's why he's letting this church know here. They don't have a Bible. They don't have 2 Thessalonians yet. They don't have none of this thing. He's just like, guys, I'm telling you something. He goes, they will say peace and safety. But he already told them, you don't have to sweat that stuff. You have no need that I write to you about this stuff. You know why? We're going to be gone. When hell really hits planet Earth, you know what you can call me? You don't call me Mike. My mom calls me Michael. Call me gone. I'm out. I'm not going to be here. 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. If you study that word perdition in the Bible, it will lead you to a few places, and you'll find the Antichrist. You'll find who he lines up with and who he's going to be. Verse 4, it says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Guys, we know this. At the very beginning of time, when God was on his throne, there was four cherubs around him and one covering cherub above him. His name was Lucifer. And Lucifer, he looked at himself and said, I'll exalt my throne above God's throne. You know, and by pride he was lifted up. And the Bible says that he's always wanted to be God. And that's exactly what happened. So let me tell you something. Before Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be a counterfeit. There always is. There always is. And it's going to be this coming Antichrist. He's going to do what? He's going to exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5. Remembering ye not that when I was with you, yet with you I told you these things. And now you know that. Okay. Slow down, Mike. Jeez. Verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Isn't it interesting? We're in 2 Thessalonians. We've already read in 1 Thessalonians. Like when he was there and he talked about these things, then he wrote a letter. Now he's saying, you guys remember, I taught you some of this, verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity, one of the 7 mysteries in the New Testament, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The Antichrist is already at work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's a nice phrase that we can learn from, because power, signs, and wonders, everybody always associates them with God. When there's power, like, wow, that's miraculous, like some miraculous thing, which is weird. We read the Sunday school stories. Like, even when God would do miracles with Moses at the beginning, when signs first kicked in for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, there's a lot of the magicians and these Egyptians could repeat the miracles. They could do them too. So just because something is powerful or just because something even looks miraculous, don't think that God is always behind that, which we're deceived by that. Everybody thinks that, or they say signs and wonders. Like, you know, everybody sees something abnormal, like, man, God gave me a sign. Really? The Bible's pretty clear about who these signs are for. And during the tribulation period, God's attention is going back to the nation of Israel. He says who's coming is after the working of Satan with all what? Power and signs and lying wonders. Signs and lying wonders. People freak out. Guys, listen to me. Before the tribulation comes in, the Bible says Satan is going to do a great work with power, signs, and lying wonders. There is going to be a spiritual revival, and people are going to be all fired up about it. But it's a lie. It will not be the truth. That's how people are going to buy into it. Now, you and me, we've already read, you know, we'll be out. Verse 10 says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So people that had a chance at the gospel and didn't get it. Verse 11 says, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Our God will send strong delusion. They'll believe a lie because they had a window of time to accept truth. And they rejected it. And upon the rejection of it, God says, then they will believe a lie. Henceforth, we get 1 Thessalonians 5:3. It says, they'll say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. You know, a lady that's pregnant. They'll give you an estimated date. But you know how it is, ladies that have gone through this. I've only experienced this and watched this very closely with my wife. They give you a date and close. But all of a sudden, man, it hits and there's emergencies. And sometimes even a month out, you're like, oh my gosh, it's coming. Well, it wasn't. But man, there was a lot of pain. We went to the doctor anyway. All that stuff happens, right? As travail, man, pain upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. There'll be no escape from this day, right? This is the day where the Antichrist, well, we could say he'll rule. By the way, those of you like the book of Revelation gives us several beautiful pictures of the end times, especially the tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, it says this. Revelation 6:1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Everybody thinks this is Jesus. Don't he come back on a white horse? Before the real comes on the scene, the counterfeit shows up. One reason you know this is the counterfeit coming on this white horse is, it says, and he has a what in his hand? A bow. There's never mentioned an arrow. You know why? He's coming in. And everybody's going to say peace and safety. Trouble's going to hit planet Earth, and the Antichrist, a political religious figure, will show up and come and bring peace to some sort of rough situation. And then hell will turn loose. Then perdition will come upon the planet. So anyways, I just wanted you to see in verse 3 that he says, man, sudden destruction is going to come upon them. As travail upon a woman with child, as travail, and they shall not escape. But in verse 4, watch what he says. But ye, brethren. So just to let everybody know, he's pretty clear about there's some certain things that's going to happen to them, which is funny. Hey, take the pronouns they, them if you want to. I don't want it. I want to be part of the brethren, man. The ye. Isn't it funny? The book of Acts does that. Some of the most popular pronouns that people are taking today. It's funny. Go to the book of Acts. One, it's a counterfeit of what the church is supposed to be called. But you hit a passage like this and you'll find out, like, I don't want to be they, them. They, them are not going to escape. They're going to be in trouble. Verse 4 says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Bible is true. The Bible is clear. Hey, guys, the second coming of Christ, me and you're going to be gone. We'll be raptured out. The Bible says that's the day of Christ. The day of the Lord. When Jesus comes back, we're actually going to be part of the army that's with him. His attention's actually going to the nation of Israel. It's going to be, and sometimes you got to watch out the wording in the Bible, but Jesus is coming down, it says, but then he won't touch ground. He's coming and then we'll meet him in the air, the Bible says, and we'll be raptured out. And then before it's over, tribulation will hit, God's focused attention on the nation of Israel. When it's time to come, kick some tail, put Jesus Christ on the throne. We'll come with him, and Jesus actually will touch down. He'll touch down on planet Earth. That would be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get to what he's saying here in verse 4. Ye brethren are not in darkness, that day overtake you. You're not in darkness. That day's not going to take you as a thief. I want you to know something in this room. Christian, listen to me. If you're a believer, you are not in darkness. The Bible says that clearly. We're not in darkness. It says in verse 5, you're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Then verse 6 says, therefore let us not sleep. So, I'm going to cover a couple things here. Let me talk about darkness for just a second. Darkness. The Bible says there's coming a day where the sun will be turned to darkness. That day is actually in Acts 2:20. That is called, it's the day of the Lord. It's going to be a dark day. If you need proof for that, go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm sorry. Acts 2:20 will say this. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. Because he's asking verse 18. If you're in Acts chapter 2, look at verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days. That phrase is a tribulation phrase in the Bible. But if you have different versions of the Bible, you can't catch this one. In my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show thee wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into the blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. There's that phrase again, the day of the Lord. Before Jesus Christ comes back, he says the sun's going to be turned into darkness. So as he's talking about the second coming of Christ and the tribulation going into that, I like how he tells the church, don't panic. You are not of the darkness. You're not of that day. It's not you. But if you study darkness in the Bible, this is what's so awesome, is everybody take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If not, Jordan can throw it on. If you're not quick flipping in your Bible, that's okay. Just look up behind me here. But if you can get to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Well, it says in verse 5, they're preaching Jesus. It says in verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. God in creation commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And verse 7 says, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Just like when God comes down in creation, and we read it in the book of Genesis, and it was so dark, and he commanded light to shine in the midst of darkness. And by the way, what's interesting, go back and read Genesis chapter 1. You'll find out the light that was commanded out first was not the sun. That's just beautiful. But for you and me, the Bible says that we were born in sin. And the Bible often says that we were born in darkness. And this is why when Jesus Christ came to planet Earth, he says, I am the light of the world. John 8:12, he says, I am the light. And he says, he that followeth me will not walk in darkness. And some of you might say, why is my life so dark then? John 12, verse 46, he says, I am the light of the world. He that believeth and not abide, says, shall not abide in darkness. That's not where you live, is in darkness, because he's given a light. Did you know 1 John 1:5 says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all, man. At all. One of the words that people use to describe mental problems, mind issues that people face today would be depression. It hits everybody and hits at different depths and all that. Some people, I think, can be even more prone to it because of maybe some family history and what's working in that gene pool. You know, I'm pretty convinced there's some areas I look at my family, I'm like, man, the lifeguard was missing that day at the gene pool, you know, and I got plagued with that one, you know. Yes, some people have different issues than others, for sure, because of that. But the Bible teaches that the one that touches more people than anybody, at least it'll touch everybody in their lifetime, and some people can't seem to shake it, is this word depression. You're like depressed. There's a pressure in your life and you can't explain it. So how they explain it, even on the commercials, they'll explain it and they'll put people under dark clouds and show them, and how, you know, they try to sell their pharmaceutical pill that'll give you some relief, that type of thing. And so, which is kind of true. It would be described as a type of darkness in our life. So just to know that God is light, Jesus Christ comes, says, I'm the light of the world. And when he shows up and gets involved in your life, he never expects you. He says, you shall not abide in darkness. You don't live there. It's not going to be your home. It's time to move. Bible says he wants to make you a new creature. I'm not saying you won't struggle with it. I'm just saying he never intended, and he'll give you every ability, every capability, every opportunity for you not to live in darkness. Now, people that are smarter than I like to talk about these things. Whenever I mention mental illness, I always have somebody that decides that they want to deal with me on this and talk to me and just say, you don't understand and you don't know. They never bring scripture to me, ever. It's based upon an experience. Guys, believe me, there's things in my life that I could say I've experienced this, and it's true. I'm not sitting back telling that like it's all made up. I think it's very real. There's a reason why Satan's kingdom is called a kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a kingdom of light. The problem is in our dark planet, in our dark culture that we live in, we come in with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what, they want so bad to dominate that. And today, the church and the Word of God have no voice. And the reason they have no voice is we don't give it a voice. We never stand up and preach the proclamation of the truth, the power of the gospel that truly changes people's lives. I have people that get saved, and it don't take them long, and they'll usually say, this is what I've always needed. It's what I've always looked for. It's what we've all needed, man. You're not alone on this gig, right? That's why salvation in Acts 26:18, it said that we turn people from darkness to light. There's a power that Satan has, and we turn them to the power of God. Darkness cannot comprehend light. Church, if we've got the light of the gospel and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, darkness is not a place for you to live. I'm not saying you won't get there. I'm not saying circumstances won't get bleak. We see godly people, even in the history of the Bible, get to places, even want to be suicidal. You ever see that with Elisha? He's just like, I just want to die, man. I can't live another day. His life was so dark. And you know what happened? He needed to eat from heaven. And God comes down and feeds him from heaven. And all of a sudden, in the strength of that, he is filled with hope and he runs. And he runs on that power and strength for actually quite a long time. I'm here to say that same victory is offered to me. That same victory is offered to you. You don't have to buy it if you don't want to. I'm just saying this is what the Bible says. Ephesians 5:8 says, hey, you were sometimes in darkness. Now are you light. That's our history. We were in darkness. And now that we're light. And so if you would say, well, I look back at my history. That's why some of you have got saved. And you're like, well, I met Jesus Christ when I was 4 years old. Life was really dark for you at 4 years old, wasn't it? And most people don't even sometimes have a comparison. And I would say this, be careful of that. That's why the Bible says you better look deep. You better look at your life. Look how this thing played out for you. So here's darkness in our life. We were born in sin. And some of us, I know who I used to be, and I met Jesus Christ, and now I'm different. I still struggle with some of these things, but I got light on the subject now. When the roaches come in the room, I just turn on the light. That's where they exist. Anybody have rats or mice in their house? I can't say I've had rats, but I've had a ton of mice in the current home we live in. The best way to deal with mice, you know what the best way to deal with them is? Just keep the light on. We usually get all of them at nighttime. It's when they come out. They run the cracks of the house, the corners, cabinets. They don't come in the middle of the room. They don't do that. We got a cat try to help us out with this process too, you know. But that's what they do. And so if you want the rats, the roaches out of your life, just keep the light on. Keep the light on. You know, this church is a lighthouse. We're supposed to shine the light to the world so people get saved. People don't think much of the church anymore, but I'm here to tell you, in the darkest of times, in the darkest of time, this is God's vehicle to say, this is how I will shine my light forth. You come in here, get around people that we what? It's the light. It's, we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons it says, the Bible says to lift Jesus Christ up, you know why? So the light shines further. And it shines brighter. People are in darkness and they need to know their hope is in the gospel. Their hope is in Jesus Christ. Darkness is powerful. Colossians 1 said there's a power in darkness. Don't fool yourself. I would never deny that. Don't think I'm up here. You know, I preach like it's easy, but we all know that's lived a life. It's not. It's very difficult. When I'll get down and I get caught up in my own life and in my head. You know what the Bible says? I love this whole passage here because it says, hey, let me remind you of something. You are not in darkness. Lord, but I feel like I'm in darkness. But the facts of the Bible say, your sin is gone. Even the day of darkness that's going to come to planet Earth where the sun will be squelched and darkness will hit planet Earth, that day is not for you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are called out of darkness. And it uses this word because we sing it into the marvelous light. Some of us just forget. Some of us just allow culture. We allow people with higher IQs than me to determine what real darkness and light is. I would just rather to go to the one that makes, he's the judge. His opinion's the only one that matters. It don't matter. So when you go to the Bible here and he just says, brother, you're not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So guys, depression's real. Mental quirks, we all have them. Like, seriously, some worse than others too. I get all of that. Some of you even, like, genetically, you can't help that. Isn't it sad? Sometimes my daughter came home the other day and I said, hey, how was your day? We're just talking. And she began to cry tears. And I said, what's the deal? And she said, oh, we got this little boy. She just described this little boy. And what she described was very sad. And she's like, he never asked to be born like this into a family that was troubled like this. Can somebody not rescue him? And the light of the gospel needs to shine in his light. The light of the gospel has to enter into his world, into his parents' world. And some of them poor parents are doing the best they can. But when you're groping in darkness, you don't do very well. They need the gospel. Man, church, we got to preach the gospel. The good news. There's hope for you, right? Look at verse 6 here. Therefore, verse 6 says, let us not sleep. Okay, I'm kind of going to move on from a subject of darkness and talk about sleeping. Because of this, there's three things he says in this chapter, in these verses. He says, let us not sleep as do others. So check this out. Christian, do you see the word? We're light. We're not of the darkness. Then don't sleep. If you look, there's two different ways the word sleep is defined in the Bible. We just got done with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So go back to chapter 4. Man, my ribbons fell out of my Bible. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I think everybody see like in verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He makes it pretty clear as he's talking about the rapture of the church, which is, if you want to say, it's the beginning of the second coming of Christ. I can deal with that, somebody wording it that way. But basically what he's saying here is that they were like, what about our people that were saved? And are we going to see them again? They don't have a completed Bible. And he goes, I want you to know something. When Jesus comes back, man, he's going to come into the clouds. We're going to meet them in the air. But he talks about those that sleep in Jesus. The definition of sleep is obviously very clear here, and we just read it again. It says, those we which are alive and remain. We're not going to stop those. And it says, those that have died. They died. It's death. This sleep is death. This is where Jesus walks up to a group of people in Matthew 27. And that's where he talks about the saints which slept arose, meaning they've died. Jesus will walk up and be like, yeah, man, you know, what about this little girl? She died, man. She's dead. And Jesus goes, she's just sleeping. Sleep can mean death in Scripture. And by the way, the word in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Greek word is koimaio, which means to lie in burial. Koimaio. But you get to, now, we don't need to know that word, but here's why I'm pointing it out. When you get to chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it says in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep. We know this sleep here doesn't mean death by the context. Let us not sleep. Let us not die. Well, I got news for you. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment, Hebrews chapter 9. Like, that's a choice that you have? Most people would say, yeah, I wouldn't choose to die. On a good day, you wouldn't choose death, would you? So that's why when he's saying here, it's like, hey, man, I want to make sure you do not sleep because you have that choice. So I looked up the Hebrew word here, the Greek word, and it's not kemayo, it's kathudu. And that word means to drop off in a sleep. Or it means to yield to slothfulness, to get careless. The word sleep, by the context in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is very clear. That's talking about death. He's talking about Christians that have died before. When you get to chapter 5 and he's talking about the day of the Lord, he says, here's what you guys need to do. Don't worry about that day, but here's the thing. Don't sleep on it. Don't nod off. Don't be slothful. Ephesians chapter 5, he says, hey, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Christ will give thee light. It's a great counseling verse in the Bible. Because what happens is, as he's talking here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says in verse 6, therefore, you're not in darkness, you're children of light. You're not in darkness, you're children of light. You're up of the day, you're not of the night. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So what he's saying here is, it's not the sleep of death. This is the sleep of nodding off, not paying attention, letting culture woo you. And all of a sudden, you're not conscious of it. When you walk into your workplace, I mean, one of the very things on our minds the Bible tells us we should watch for is the coming of Christ. He's coming back. Our time is limited. And all I can think about is, I'm going to go in, produce this job, get this group of people to like me. I got news for you. You're dozing. You're sleeping on this. And that's what he's saying here. Let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. The Bible's pretty clear about darkness. That's why most horrible sin activities take place in the dark. That's why as good parents, what do we do with our kids? My mom, when I was real little, we just ran like crazy. We just ran to projects, man. You know what my mom would say? The streetlights used to come on. They'd buzz first for a while. Bzzz, trying to come on. It took them a couple minutes. My mom would say, your butt better be home before the streetlights are on. And every time we'd be playing ball or doing something stupid, bzzz, you'd hear it, and all of a sudden you'd see kids scatter, man. You know why we were doing? Yeah, the lights were coming on. Because my mom knows something. Bad things happen in the dark. At nighttime. If you look at criminal activity, darkness, nighttime, drunkenness, that's why anytime, you know, and if you don't get this, a lot of people don't understand this, but man, we understand it as adults because we've had some wisdom and experience in life, and you're like, man, not a lot of good happens in the nighttime and in the dark. That's why you ever get into a shady place, and what happens? The lights come down. Doesn't it? Why? Because you can get away with a little bit more. People don't see you. And I've done more bad things. There's a church bus that used to pick kids up. And even when I got into junior high school, I'd get on this church bus and they'd take us place. They'd get all these buses together. And I loved it when the sun went down, man. They turned the lights off. And every once in a while, they'd flick the lights on the bus and say, "Hey, we're just checking," you know. And I'm glad they did that because it always startled me because I was usually doing something pretty stupid, pretty foolish. It was awful. Why? But I did it in darkness because people can't see real clear in the darkness. So he says here, verse 8, let us, not they who are of the day, that's us, be sober, man. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, it says. So we see it pretty clear here. Let us not sleep. We're not of the darkness. So quit nodding off on this thing. If you take the Christian life casual, if you take life casual, guess what? You're going to miss a lot of things. Now, I'm going to point something out here. I think it's beautiful how he lays this thing out. So, first of all, let me give you a group of knots. He says in verse 1, you have no need that I write unto you. None. So there's a negative. There's a no. In verse 3, he says, there's a group of people, not us, that shall not escape. But for you and me, it kicks in verse 4. We are not in darkness. Right? Verse 5 says, we are not of the night. And it mentions again, we are not of the darkness. And therefore, it hits verse 6 and says, therefore, let us not sleep. We're too casual about our Christian lives. Most of our Christian lives are shady. You know what shade is, don't you? Just there's the light still there, but it's the lack of it. People say, man, it's a lot cooler here. Yeah, it's the slow fade that Proverbs speaks about that we'll go into. We read it this morning about a widow, didn't we? Man, when I seen that, I was like, and it says, man, a lot of times what they do is she's retirement. And so it says she wants to live in pleasure and she don't even realize that she's dead while she's living. I like that because I was like, boy, Lord, I'm convicted of this. A lot of the things that bring me pleasure in my life, there are things that have no eternal value in it. And people are like, yeah, but you got to have. You have every right to. That's culture selling you that. The problem is I'm sleeping on it, is what I'm sleeping on seriousness. And that's what he's saying here. Don't sleep. Let us not sleep. And then he leads this into verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. God hath, we are not, church, we are not appointed to wrath. I want you to know that. You are not appointed. You know who took our wrath? Jesus. Mount Calvary. Judgment happened there, for our sin was judged there, if you know Jesus Christ. So we think someday's going to come and God's going to come down and judge planet Earth and we're like biting our fingernails. I got news for you. Calvary took that for me. Jesus loves me so much, man, and I met him and I placed my faith in him. And all of a sudden, I'm a child of the day, man. I'm not of the night. That's why a Christian doesn't have to live in darkness. But a lot of Christians choose to sleep, which sleep is what? You could be in the middle of a sun-baking field and close your eyes and be in darkness. We choose to be carnal. We choose, he says, man, let us not sleep. Do not sleep as do others. People take this so casual. I like what it says. You know, it says in that we're not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. See, our salvation now, by faith, we know it. Now, physically, we're going to see it. There's two adoptions, right? We've got one spiritually now. Romans says the other one's going to come. At the rapture, the church will be taken out of here. This is what I love about this passage. I love in verse 10 where he says, verse 9, we obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we focused on the appointed wrath? That's not for you and me. Jesus took my wrath. We've obtained salvation. I've been saved. And then verse 10 says, who died for us? Then watch this. Whether we wake or sleep. We should live together with him. Look up the definition of sleep here. It's different than one in chapter 4. These people are all worried about it. Some people really believe like you can lose your salvation. Well, I'm a Christian though, man, but I've been living in darkness. Hey, it happens, dude. Confess and repent. Turn from that. Quit sleeping on it. And he says in verse 10, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep. Whether you're going to live this Christian life wide open, live in the day, in the light, be a child of light. But some people, you know what they do? He said, let us not sleep as do others. Some Christians just choose to sleep. Whether we wake or sleep, guess what? If you're saved, you're going to live together with him. I like that. I've never used this passage for eternal security, but I'm using it now. It's beautiful, isn't it? So it don't mean that everything's always perfect, does it? And by the way, you know, if you look at sleep, let us not sleep. If you check out sleep in the Bible, you know, when people sleep, the enemy does his planting in Matthew 13. He'll come along in your field and he'll put tares in your field. So if you want to nod off, the enemy does his best work when your eyes are closed. And by the way, when we grow impatient, people think that, like, I don't know, is he coming? Is he really? And then you tend to nod off. Guess what? That's when the Bible says that's why he comes as a thief. So if you want to sleep on anything like that, even on the rapture of the church, you'll be nodding off on the thing. What about the disciples? Jesus is like, man, I'm getting ready to go to the cross. This is getting ready to happen. I come back. He goes, can you not pray even for an hour? He caught them sleeping. They're dozing off, man. And he tells me, he says, my gosh, you know what he says in Matthew 26:40? He says, my gosh, he goes, you guys really shouldn't be sleeping. He goes, lest ye enter into what? Temptation. If you live in that state of being tired, or that state where you're always wanting to be in darkness and close your eyes, temptation comes when we sleep, the Bible says. When we sleep on it. If you're paying attention, you think people... it's crazy, isn't it? The Bible says, for you and me, that we have not been appointed to wrath. So I hope that encourages your heart. We are children of the light. I got a whole section on light. I got a whole section on what he tells us to do here. Let us not sleep. Let us what? Watch and be sober. That's the same word as vigilant. Be awake. Live awake. And God, and you know, what are we living for? The day of wrath is coming to this planet, and it's going to hit people. And guys, let me put it to you this way. Those of us that do business and we make money off of people, and that's how, you know, I get it. Commerce is all taking place in all kinds of different forms. But the problem is, if we're not paying attention, some of our very customers, some of our very coworkers, they're not going to escape. A bad day is coming for them. Judgment is coming. Now, if we would tell them that Christ took their judgment, if we give them the light of the glorious gospel and it would shine in the midst of their darkness, they could be saved. But if you, some of us are not even concerned about that. We're just like, when? Another customer, another satisfied person, the coworkers think I'm awesome. Yeah, they're going to really think you're awesome when the church is ripped up out of here and we're raptured up. And the day of wrath comes on planet Earth and it starts getting dark. And what are they going to say? There was something different about him. And I never shined the light for them. Can you imagine? I never want to be that guy. He says, watch and be sober. Sober your thinking up. This is ridiculous. Be sobered up. Fox News is not the truth. This book's true. This is the book of truth. Be sober. Be sensible about everything. You look at watch and sober. You know what you find out? The enemy. If you're not sober and you're not watchful, the devil's seeking about whom he may devour. You're devoured. It's just so, it's crazy, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you this. Whether you wake or sleep, it's your choice. Jesus Christ died for you. If you know him, you're saved. We're going to live forever with him. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. So, yeah, be watchful. Like it says there, watch for yourself, watch for others, watch for the Lord's return. Then probably should be switched around. You know what mature people do? Mature people are watching for the Lord's return. We watch for other people, and we're also watching for ourselves. Immature Christians, flip that completely around. Immature Christians, you know what they do? They sleep. They ain't watching for anybody. You know how it is, your little kids. You don't expect them to, you know, to guard the house, do you? No, they're little. You're doing that for them. They're immature. That's what it is. Until they get older, and then hopefully you'll teach your kids some of those skills and how to do that and how to be responsible for people around them. You know, that's what you do. But immature people not often sleep, and then they watch for themselves, maybe others, then the Lord's return. That's kind of the progress they'll go through. And a lot of people just stay on the bottom few rungs of that thing. And they just watch for themselves. Whatever pleases them. Me. It's all about me. I'll brand me. You know how it is. The whole fallacy of social media. Let me tell you what it is. It's just dark. That's what it is. It's just people nodding off, especially, you know what I like? It most people, they're liking this and loving this, and all these views, and I look, and sometimes I'm like, I know that lady. This is not true about her. But everybody else is like, yeah, man, this is awesome, isn't it? Yeah, everybody's sleeping on that one. I don't want to sleep. What about you? That's the end of the message today. What about you? So three things. Verse 6, let us not sleep as do others. Let us. So let us, negative, not sleep. Let us watch and be sober. Man, get in God's word. Open your eyes. Watch is always connected with prayer in the Bible. You watch, man, and be sober. Be sensible. We're not even I'm freaked out, you know. And I don't want to, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. It's a great kid's book, but it's not a sober way to live. We do know the end's coming, and we're sober about that. We know that. So let us, who over the day, we're going to be sober, and what do? Put on the armor, the breastplate, faith. That's faith in this book, love, or love amongst one another. And then the helmet is what? The hope of salvation. Once you put the helmet, the hope of salvation, and guess what? When you have the hope of salvation on, not appointed to wrath. I know it now. I got the facts now, right? And Jesus died for us, and we're going to live forever with him. So, hey, Christian, I hope this shed a little bit of light. I'm going to end it right here. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. We'll pick up here next week. Let's tell a dying and a lost world. If you're in this room, you might not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Darkness might have your life plagued. Do you know Jesus? If your life is utter darkness and you just can't see more than a paycheck in front of you, I don't know how this is going to work out. If your life is like that in dark, that is no way to live, man. The Bible says we can be children of light, but it's the light of the gospel. So do you know Jesus? I'm not saying you ain't religious. I'm not saying you can't pray. I'm just saying if you do not know Jesus Christ, you're in darkness. And by the way, the Bible calls Satan an angel of light. And he says, and if the light be in you, be darkness. What? What is that all about? Yeah, it's the same thing as the power of lying signs and wonders. People deceive themselves. But do you have the light of the gospel inside of your life? What's the Bible say? I don't care about my opinion. I don't care about your opinion. Get off of it. And culture, let me tell you what culture is going to do to you. It's going to leave you in the dark, man. We get the privilege of going up to jail on Mondays. You know what I like about it? Everybody up there living the high life. Everybody was doing all great. And you know what all of them tell you when they get up there? Some of them, it's been so bad, their own families don't even contact them up there. All of the friends they had and all the stuff they did in the midst of darkness, them people never call. They're all by themselves up there. And so we get to take the light of the gospel up to them. Here's the light for you. And now all of a sudden, we got a couple guys, they went away to prison. And you know what they do? They write. You know why they're writing back, I think? Light. In their darkness, it's a little bit of light. They know that now that they're saved and know Jesus Christ, they don't want to live in darkness. They know they need to be different. And they're going to accomplish it if they stay after just the way the Bible says. So let's bow our heads and pray. Anybody in the room, do you need saved? Is there anybody in this room that needs Christ? The good news of the gospel, Jesus died, was buried, and he resurrected for you. We are born in sin. Gang, we are born in sin. Everybody's born in sin. Everybody is born in darkness. That's why newborn babies, it takes them a while to even get to light. Light hurts their eyes, don't it? You know, we're born in darkness, but spiritually, we are born in darkness. And this is why Jesus Christ came, to shine the light of the glorious gospel. It's the power of God. It can change you. It can save you. Is there anybody in this room that would say, I don't know Christ? I need to be a Christian. Now, if you're not, we just read here what's going to happen. The end times is going to take you, man. It's going to eat and swallow you up. You will be appointed to wrath. Because every sin costs, and eventually it'll cost death. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, man, is eternal life, man. You could be at the end of this thing. We will live together with him. Is there anybody here that's not sure that you'll live together with the Lord at the end? And some people are like, I don't get it. You know why? Because you've been sleeping. It's like waking up in the middle of a movie. Like, what's going on? Yeah, that's how life is for you. You don't have a clue about life and how it's working. You know why? You're nodding off. So, unsaved person, if you need to be saved, get my attention right now. Just kind of raise your hand, point it out, say, I need to look at this. And we'll have somebody show you in the Bible. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see it from God's word. Anybody in here would just raise your hand and say, hey, I would welcome somebody sitting with me and opening the Bible. I would totally welcome that. And we can get that done for you this morning. Anybody needs Jesus? Anybody? You're unsure of salvation? Let me know. Christian, is anybody in this room, you would say, you know, I'm convicted because I'm sleeping. I've just been sleeping. You know who you are. Get that right with him right now. That's why we're under a message like this. We're going to shine the light of the glorious gospel. The church is supposed to be the lighthouse. We're supposed to go forth from here as light into this dark world. Let us not sleep. If you've been sleeping, right now just confess to the Lord. God, I've been living with my eyes closed. I need to get this straight. Guys, if there's a sin that's actively in your life weighing you down and blinding you, you might need to talk, man. Come up to me afterwards. I'll give somebody that can give you some biblical counseling that can meet with you and help you how to have victory in your life. Do not let sin dominate you like that. It's a sin and it'll easily beset you. It cannot do that. We got to live clean on this one, don't we? We need to watch and be sober. Anybody need to own those things? I haven't been put on the breastplate of faith, believing what God's word says, and of love, love for the believers, right? That's what that one's speaking of. Jesus, thank you for your word today, Lord, and we know it's true. And Lord, it's also kind of difficult. Thanks for teaching us the Bible today. Thank you for this group of people that, Lord, most of the people in this room, I think, love you and they want to do right. I pray we can walk with you. Lord, I pray that we can be the church of the living God, that we can be a real lighthouse in the midst of a culture, a crooked and a perverse generation. This is what we want to be before the day of wrath comes to this planet. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.